Our gospel lesson today comes from the 12th chapter of Mark's gospel and begins in the 41st verse. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So this passage that we hear in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, is just on the heels of when Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem. So remember, most of his ministry of teaching and preaching and healing happened outside of Jerusalem in Galilee. And then he makes his way into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the back of a donkey and begins to have more kind of pointed conversations, pointed interactions. This is when in Mark's gospel, when he arrives in Jerusalem, is when he knocks over the tables in the temple and says, "Stop making my father's house a den of thieves." And then he begins to have really pointed lessons, arguments, really, with the Pharisees, with the scribes, with the Sadducees. And then he pulls back and has a little bit of a lesson about the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees with a crowd. And then he does something he doesn't. There's actually no other instance where it's so obvious that Jesus is just watching someone. And he pulls back outside the temple and watches the treasury. And for a while, people come through and many give really big gifts. And then, of course, this widow drops in her two coppers, mites, is how the King James translates it. And that's when Jesus calls his disciples and begins to speak. Something very big has happened here, something very important. Generosity, it is clear, matters to Jesus. Now, those of you who have younger kids, and those of you who used to, can remember that there'd be this thing called a play date, which parents think is going to be fun on the front end. And often, if it's at someone's house, it devolves from what should be a fun playtime into territorialism. As the host kid will often, in the playroom, see the friend pick up a Tyrannosaurus Rex and run over and say, "That's mine." Sometimes pulling it out of their hands, sometimes worse. Then they'll go over to a truck. "Oh, that's a nice truck. Mine." And eventually, the host kid will declare, "It's all mine." And it's not fun. It's not fun if you try to play without sharing. Generosity makes things fun. One of my previous churches, there was a man who had a very rough upbringing. He'd been in and out of orphanages. And then he finally married. And he remembered, he told me about what his first birthday when he was married. He woke up that morning and he could smell that something was cooking in the oven. He couldn't place it. It smelled kind of sweet. And so he went into the kitchen and his wife was there. He's like, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, I baked a cake." And he's like, "Why?" And she said, "Well, it's a birthday cake." And he didn't know what that was. Never had a birthday cake. The world is better with birthday cakes, with generosity. The world exists literally because of generosity. God created all that is, not because it needed to be created, but out of generosity. God was perfectly content. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, completely content in heaven. There was no need for the world to exist. There was no need to create all that is. Everything that was made out of generosity. God created all that is. Now, as Jesus calls attention to this widow, as I mentioned before, he had been arguing with Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. He could have called any of those groups over. Hey, scribes. Hey, Pharisees. Hey, Sadducees. Come here. I'm going to teach you a little lesson. He could have done that, but he didn't do that. He also had just been talking to a crowd. He could have called that crowd right back and said, "Hey, y'all, come here. I want to give you a lesson." He didn't do that either. What Jesus chose to do instead was to call his disciples. He is speaking to his home team here. He wants the disciples to see this example of generosity. discipleship and generosity go hand in hand. Now, there are many issues in the world today that that Jesus's thoughts are, we have to work at discerning, right? Like the world, the culture is so different than in Jesus's day. Jesus didn't have nuclear weapons. So his opinion on nuclear weapons requires some work on our part to interpret. Jesus didn't have social media, hence he was holy. And his opinions on the effects of social media, we have to work to discern how Jesus would handle that. Jesus didn't have many of the world's religions today. He didn't have denominations. As much as I search for that missing passage that says John the Baptist, Jesus the Methodist, I haven't found it yet. And so to discern his statements and opinions on denominations takes some work. Jesus, however, was really clear on cautioning our attitudes surrounding money. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, no one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Jesus knew that we as disciples have to be very intentional to not put our trust in the wrong thing. And money is the easiest thing for us to put wrong-headed trust into. Now, to be clear, this is a passage that has been abused. We all know stories of someone maybe who gave away their money they'd been saving for their electric bill to buy mail order teacher, TV preacher healing water, and can't even pay their rent because they gave it to that preacher. We know those stories. I've also seen this passage be abused by those who have enough and then say, "Well, I'm going to give my widow's mite," and justify not being generous by saying that matters. Both those extremes are not what I think Jesus wants. The point is that Jesus wants us to be intentional about generosity, to not put our trust in the wrong thing. And the point also is that of all the things in the world that Jesus could have watched, he was watching generosity real time. Generosity matters for our discipleship, and it matters for the heart of Jesus. Now, I remember one time when our daughter was very little, and I had bought her a nice big cookie, and we were sitting down. She was starting to eat it, and I just said, "You know, that cookie looks really good. Can I have some?" And I got a look. It was a look of both, "Do you really think I'm going to share this with you?" And "Who do you think you are?" But she kind of reconsidered, and with a gleam in her eye, she took her little teeny tiny toddler fingers and she pinched a barely visible crumb and put it in my palm. And I wanted to yell, "I bought it for you," but I'm just doing that today. I wonder sometimes if that's not how Jesus looks at us. You know, Jesus didn't have to do what he did. He could have swooped in and taught for a while and swooped out. Jesus didn't have to come and endure what he endured. He could have slapped his hands and left. He could have even turned the Roman soldiers' spears into gummy worms. He could have done any of those things. He didn't have to do what he did, but he chose to give his all. Jesus held nothing back. He gave us all. And the widow, he lifts her up because she seems to recognize how generosity works. She had been given all and is able to give all that she had to live on. Generosity is a realization that God gives all and that we can respond with all. And the all that we are called to give isn't just about money. If it was that little, it'd be a lot easier. We could just write a check and be done with it. God doesn't want just our money. God wants all. All. Generosity reflects God's character. So it's about time. It's about our spirit. It's about forgiveness. It's all. It's not just money, it's all. One of you told me a story recently that reflects generosity of spirit. This church that she had grown up in had an active youth program back in the 60s that had crossed racial lines. And a young African-American man had gotten connected with this historically white church, and the youth decided maybe it was time for him to join the church. And so they went to the leadership and said, hey, we think he's ready to join. And the leadership of the church said, well, we're not ready for him to join. And amazingly, this young man continued to follow Jesus and became a preacher. And recently, that very church that had said, we're not ready for you to join, extended an invitation for this preacher to come preach. Now, he would have been absolutely entitled. I wouldn't judge him a bit if he had just slid that invitation back and said, no thanks. He could have laughed, and I think he would have been entitled to laugh. He could have said, hey, I might be willing to preach if you'll just send me a little letter officially apologizing for what happened. But instead, with generosity of character, he responded to this moment with grace and went to that church and preached a grace-filled sermon. Generosity isn't just about money. It's about so much more. It's about character. It's about time, spirit, forgiveness. God wants us to be all in. Now, the thing that makes this passage so harrowing to me is that Jesus could have chosen to watch anything in the world. This is the only instance in the Gospels where he is watching the crowd. He could have watched anything, but he chose to watch generosity unfold, which says to me that Jesus is still watching. Jesus continues to watch our generosity. How is our character? How is our generosity emerging? Are we the kind of people who say, all mine? Are we the kind of people who put out a crumb? Or might we be the kind of people who respond by saying, we're all in? May it be so. Amen.